Moncrief on News Talk.
Earlier today, the world became a little less handsome following the death of the Oscar-winning actor and director Robert Redford. He was one of the world's great movie stars, a title that he wasn't always too comfortable with. Esther McCarthy joins us now to remember him. Afternoon, Esther.
Hi, Sean. Oh, gosh, there's some people when they die, you go, that day, and I remember where I was when that person passed away. And I think Robert Redford is one of them, you know?
Yeah.
Like we all have a little history with him on screen, and we all have our own favourite memories of what he achieved, both on and off screen, I think.
Yeah, indeed. And did his looks, to a certain extent, detract from the attention perhaps he might have felt he should have got? No, he did get an Oscar for acting, and he was and during the 70s and early 80s, you know, he was the man. But perhaps the acting didn't get as much attention as it should have, because it always came back to, you know, that golden hair and the beautiful face.
I think so. And I think he was probably underrated in that as an actor. I think there was a really naturalistic approach that I loved. He was, of course, a movie star as well as an actor. There's no question of that. With roles like Butch Cassidy in The Sundance Kid, in 3 Days at the Condor, Sidney Pollock's film with Faye Dunaway, and The Sting, of course, everyone loved The Sting. He won an Oscar, actually, for directing in the end, in 1980, for his directorial work on a film called Ordinary People. Mm. But for me, his great film, and I think it was a time in the 70s, to your question, where, you know, there was a great period in possibly one of the best periods in movie history, is the mid-70s American cinema. I think there were so many serious, gritty, Gene Hackman-type actors, I've called them. And he managed to thrive in that because, you know, the young Robert Redford with his curly blonde hair looked like a more angelic Brad Pitt, so that he was able to kind of put himself in that position of, you know, despite those looks, or maybe because of them to some extent, but to go on and take on the roles that he really wanted to do. And for me, the great, great role was his part in All the President's Men. I think he's just brilliant in that. There's a really memorable scene in that where he makes a mistake on the phone. He's on the phone trying to get information out of somebody, and he makes an error, but he stays in character and corrects himself. And it's such an authentic scene that it's kept in the final cut of the film and adds to its sense of realism, I think. A movie that managed to make long phone calls and underground car parks thrilling, Sean.
Yes.
And the two of them are just brilliant in it, I think.
It does say something about that era, actually, because, say, 3 Days of the Condor and All of the President's Men are kind of slow, lower-key kind of movies, even though they're very dramatic in their own way. And actors, even an actor of his stature, could go from doing big-budget movies down to things that were borderline indie movies.
I think so. And he always had an indie bent, of course.
Yeah.
American cinema has him to be grateful for forever, for founding Sundance. And it was lovely to hear that he passed away up in Sundance in the Ute Mountains last night, in a place that he would have loved so much, and that will continue to be his indie cinema legacy, I think. I think, there was a few actors of that period, like Gregory Peck and Steve McQueen. I think he's like them in that you could argue that he didn't have a hugely wide range as an actor, but you couldn't take your eye off him when he was on screen. I think the late Sidney Pollock nailed it when he called him a very instinctive, impulsive actor. And tellingly, I think, as well, said a big part of what made Bob so popular is what he withheld. So I do think he had that kind of low-key approach and that naturalistic approach that maybe wasn't shouty enough, you know, to have him more admired as an actor. But thank heavens for that.
Yeah.
He went on and gave us some more great movies, you know.
Yeah.
The Natural.
It's not like I don't mean this in a bad way, but it's like there was a certain blankness about him where he was almost inviting people to project onto any character he was playing.
I think so. And I think, you know, I look upon Mescal now and see maybe that was a classic approach from that time that Mescal is doing now and doing very, very successfully. And it's you know, works for me. And he went on then, of course, to do lots of films like that. He was in The Natural, Out of Africa, memorably, one of the great, great love stories. And the very, very talked about film in the 1990s, like spawned a million magazine articles, was Indecent Proposal opposite Demi Moore, you know. So he had a very, very wide body of work. But to me as well, his directorial career is underestimated, because he gave us really grown-up films, you know, behind the camera. And those included like A River Runs Through It, The Legend of Bagger Vance, and of course, a great performance from Ralph Fiennes in Quiz Show, a great, great movie about cheating and falling from grace. All those films, I suppose, had a character who seek redemption. So he was very interested in storytelling, I think. You know, he was very interested in what ended up on screen beyond his fame and his success as an actor.
Yeah, in front of me
here, the bigger picture, you know.
There was a lot of votes here for Jeremiah Johnson. I suppose because there wasn't much dialogue in it. There was a lot of him just kind of roaming around outside, killing animals and stuff.
Yeah, and the same only about 10 years ago with a film he made called All Is Lost, with very little dialogue, just him stuck in a boat fighting for his life,
oh,
you know.
Oh, yeah.
And he had a connection to Ireland as well. He was, you know, mixed, some Irish background, but he also spent some time in Dublin when he was working on his memoir here years ago, and had a little gaff out in Holt, and would have been well known amongst the restaurants and pub owners of Holt and for his visits. But of course, being Robert Redford, wanted to have a very low key time there, and was allowed to, you know, left alone.
Yeah. See, and that's the interesting thing about him. I always thought that he was quite political, especially about environmental issues. But he didn't really go for the, you know, who's he dating, who's he married to. Couldn't tell you any of those things.
I had to look them up, Sean.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was married twice. Lola Van Bagen, I'm not going to try and pronounce it. And then married to Sybil Segers, who was with him when he died, actually. So, that is one of the appealing things about him. You didn't know what he had for dinner. He wasn't in the tabloids or in the, you know, who's he dating kind of stuff, even though he was that handsome. Like, he must have had to resist the pressure of that. Mm. And he kind of just marched to his own beat in his career, you know, and that's really admirable. And he's left us a great legacy in American cinema, indie cinema, and in his activism, of course, as you mentioned as well.
Yeah, well, that's the greatest thing you could probably say about someone, really. Esther, thanks a million as ever. That's the film critic Esther McCarthy there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.